Well, this morning I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. And I certainly want to say a good hearty amen to Brother Rick's song and think about the fact that many times we think we've got all kinds of time, and yet we never know how much time God gives to us. And we need to take advantage of the moments that God brings to bear in our lives. I have just one verse for our text this morning, and because of that, I'm not going to ask you to stand this morning as we normally do as we read the text. Verse 47 of Genesis chapter 24 is our text for our message this morning. I've entitled this message simply this: God can get you there. God can get you there. Verse 47, the Bible says of chapter 24, and that's not the verse I'm looking for. Verse 27 is what I'm looking for. Of chapter 24. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left me destitute of my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." I want to speak to you this morning on this subject of the Lord can get you there. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we are very thankful today for the privilege of being in this place once again. And we thank you, Lord, for a Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning of this new year. We're thankful, Lord, for what we were able to experience in this place in 2006 and all the blessings that have been bestowed. But Lord, as we often think, and certainly we know it's true, we can't live on what you did last year, nor even last week. Lord, we have to have new blessings today. And so we're asking for that, Lord. We're asking for it boldly. We're asking for it in faith. Realizing, Lord, there's nothing we can do to produce those blessings other than just ask you to bestow them. And so, Father, as we begin this service this morning, as we stand before you and preach this first Sunday morning message of 2007, it's our prayer, Lord, that you bestow that blessing. Give me, Lord, what I need. And certainly, Lord, I pray for these that listen, that you give them what they need in their lives today. Would you speak to the hearts of every person that's gathered here in this place, and those who perhaps have the opportunity to be a part of this service through some other means, whether it's the radio or through the internet. It's certainly our prayer, Lord, that you'll speak to hearts and accomplish, Lord, your plan and your purpose in every life. Lord, help us to be receptive now to all that you're saying to us and all that you want to do. May we have a willingness on our part to do whatever it is, Lord, that you want. And may we be willing to respond as you prompt us. And we will honor and we will praise you, for we ask it and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to go back, if I can, and kind of visit the context of this particular story to kind of help you to understand what's being said to us in verse number 27. As we often talk about great stories in the Bible, certainly the story of the life of Abraham is what we would consider one of the great stories of the Bible. Abraham, of course, as you know, was a man who God came to at a specific point in his time, point in his life, and revealed himself to Abraham. And he said, "Abraham, I've got something I want you to do. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave your kindred behind. I'm going to take you to another land. I want you to follow me." Can you imagine, ladies, you're sitting here today and your husband comes home from the office. He comes home from the factory and he says to you, "Honey, we're going to move. We're putting the house up for sale. We're leaving our family behind. We're going someplace." "Well, honey, where are we going?" "Well, I don't rightly know. God spoke to me today, and he said we're to follow him, and when we get there, we'd know." Now, I got to ask you, ladies, would that take a little bit of faith to trust that your husband had heard from God and you were willing to follow that kind of leadership? Well, certainly that's what happened here in the life of Abraham. He said to his sweet wife, Sarah, "God has said we're going someplace. I don't know where it is, but God said when we get there, we'll know it." And when they got to that land of Canaan, God began to work in their life. And God said to Abraham and to Sarah, "You're going to have a child." Now, again, every young couple that's here, if you're married, and by the way, you need to be married before you have children. That's a different message in and of itself. We live in a day and age in which that doesn't seem to be much of a problem to many people. But I'm saying that the Bible still says that we're to have some morals. We're to be God's people. We're to live godly in this world. And so when we think about a young couple being married, and most young couples, after they're married, they want to have children. You know, that's just kind of a desire. We want to have some babies. We want to have some children. Well, that's fine. And Abraham and Sarah wanted to have some, and they tried to have them. And at age 65, she's 65, he's 75, God says, "You're going to have a child." Now, I don't know about you, but my wife came home and told me she was expecting. I'd probably have a heart attack this week, to be quite honest with you. I've got grandchildren. That's enough, you know. But here, Abraham and Sarah, they don't have any kids. And God says, you're going to have a child. She's 65, he's 75. Well, it didn't happen for a while. In fact, it's now Abraham's 99 and she's 90. And God comes to them and says, all right, now it's time. I'm going to give you this child. And the reason I'm doing this is because I want you to understand, it's not of you. It's what only I can do. When God revealed to Abraham and Sarah that they're going to have a child, they both laughed. Now, if I was 99 years old and somebody told me I was going to have a kid, I'd laugh too. And they laughed because God said, you're going to have this child. But I want to remind you, there's nothing too hard for God. God can do whatever he wants to do. And so when this child is born, and when before this child is born, God said, I'm going to name this boy. His name is Isaac. Do you know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter. And God was going to remind them every time they called this child's name, hey, I did something that you laughed at, but it's in my power, my ability to do it. And so they had this child. And now as we come to this passage where we are, we find in this 24th chapter that we find years have passed. And Sarah is now, she's already dead and gone. Isaac's mama, she's dead and gone. And we find Isaac is 40 years of age, and his father Abraham knows he needs to have a wife. And he doesn't want his son to marry the women of the Canaanites. He's living amongst the Canaanites. They're pagan people. They're those that worship false gods and false deities. And he understands the principle that it's through his son that God's going to bring this nation to bear. And he's got to have a proper wife. And by the way, Abraham knew this principle, and it's good for all of us to remember and to know. It's never a good thing to marry someone if they don't have the same faith and values you have. Somebody ought to say amen to that. Truthfully, we need to understand that when you're looking for a mate, when you're looking for someone to be your husband or your wife, find somebody who knows the Lord if you're saved. That's who you ought to marry. Don't even think about marrying somebody that's unsaved. Don't think about somebody outside of your faith, belief, your doctrinal persuasion. Don't even think about it. Find it and let God bring that person into your life. And I find the Bible gives us a command and a principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Bible gives us that clear statement. And so we ought not to violate. So Abraham is living among the Canaanites. And they're all around him. And yet he knows his son needs a wife, but not from these people. So he's prompted to send his servant back to the homeland to seek a bride amongst the extended family. And Abraham knows that his family still lives in a particular area. And so he calls for his servant, and he says to his servant, now look, I want you to make sure that you don't take my son back there. I don't want my son to go back to that place. God brought us here. We're going to stay here until God removes us from this place. And so I'm going to tell you that God is going to send his angel on ahead, and he's going to prepare this damsel. Would you look at verses 6 and 7 of the 24th chapter, please, as Abraham makes that statement. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou not bring my son, bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So Abraham said, it's God who's going to prepare the way. It's God who's going to prepare the heart of this young lady who'll be the son, be the wife of my son. So we find in this passage that this servant loads up 10 camels full of goods and heads off to a place called Mesopotamia. And he enters into this area from which Abraham's from. And when he gets there, would you notice verses 11 to 14, we find that he stops and he whispers a prayer there before he begins to look for this bride. Here's what he says. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master, Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, that she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and hereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, we find that this is a simple prayer that this man praise. He gets to that place. He's in that general vicinity. He doesn't know anybody there. He just knows this is the area where his master's from. He knows it's a time when the women, and by the way, it was the women's responsibility to go out and get the water. So he just knows this is a time when the women of the area are going to come to this area to draw water. So he says, Lord, I want to kind of put this fleece out here, and here's what I want to have happen. And let this woman, the woman that you've chosen, let her, when I ask of a drink of water from her, let her say, well, yeah, and I'll not only give you a drink, but let me also water the camels. Now, again, I'm not into this stuff, but I got to tell you, we start talking about watering camels, that's a lot of water. I mean, we're talking about, not just one dip in the well. We're talking about dip after dip after dip after dip. We're talking about a lot of work. That if she's going to water the camels, it's a lot that's involved here. Now, this is what causes, and we find, by the way, after he finishes, he hardly finished the prayer, and you read in verse 15 that this young, beautiful young lady comes walking out of the area, and she comes, and he says to her, hey, I'd like a drink of water. She said, all right, here's a drink. Well, let me also water your camels. He hardly finishes the prayer, and God has already answered the prayer. She's the right woman at the right time. Now, would you notice what causes the response of verse 24, which we read for our text? Let's read it again, please. And she said unto him, I am the daughter of... I'm still the wrong verse. Verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. He's praising God, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Truthfully, what God did for Abraham in sending his servant, and what he did for his son Isaac in providing a bride, and what he did through this servant is what God is willing to do for us. Here we are, we're standing at the beginning of 2007, and we really have no idea what this year holds for us. Now, I want to tell you something today. If you're one of those people who say, well, I just got to know what's going to happen this today in my life before it happens, and I got to know this week what happens, I'm going to check the astrology charts. I'm going to check with the soothsayers. I want to tell you something, friend. You're messing with something you ought not to be messing with. The astrologist does not know what's going to happen in your life. The palm reader doesn't know what's going to happen in your life. The tarot card reader doesn't know what's going to happen in your life. By the way, that stuff's all of the devil. All of it. All of it. Don't even start messing with it. Don't even start thinking that way. There is somebody who knows the future. There is a God in heaven who holds the future for us. And by the way, God is not going to tell you what the future holds. The Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I, for one, don't want to know what the future holds. Now, it'd be wonderful if everything in the future was wonderful. And hey, it'd be wonderful if this year God was going to drop $1 million personally in my lap. I'd like to know that. But what happens if something terrible is going to happen? See, we all want to know the good things. We don't want to know the bad things. But can I tell you, the Bible does tell us in a general sense for all of us that the future holds some things for all of us. Number one, I'll tell you this. The Bible shares with us all of us are going to die. Now, I don't know. I may die in 2007. I don't know that. I'm talking to some folks that maybe will not be here by this time next year in 2008 if the Lord tarries his coming. You may not be here because you will die this year. The Bible says, shares with us that we have all sinned and we all owe a penalty, and the penalty is death. And the Bible says we have an appointment with death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Bible also shares that not only are we going to face death, but after we die, we're going to spend eternity someplace, either in heaven or hell. Now, the truth of the matter is, the Bible also shares that God doesn't want anyone to perish. God doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He sent His Son into this world. His Son took upon flesh. He went to the cross of Calvary, and God took your sin and placed it upon His Son, Jesus. He died for you. He went into the grave and conquered death, and He lives today to be your Savior if you'll accept Him. So the Bible says that God wants you to be saved. And God shares with us, once we are saved, that our lives are to be used to serve the Lord. So I can tell the future. I can tell you some general things that are in store for all of us if we'll just do what God wants us to do. But beyond that, while it does not tell us what's going to happen in our lives all year long, our lives down here can be somewhat confusing, can they not? I talk to many people all the time, and they say, Pastor, can I come in and talk with you? They sit down in my office and they share with me that sometimes they're facing some decisions, and they say, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Can you help me? I say to people all the time, look, I cannot make your decisions for you, nor do I want that responsibility. I will tell you, I can give you some principles that can guide you from the Word of God, and there is one who lives inside of you who can help you make right decisions and right choices in life. We want to make it through our life. We want to make good choices and right decisions. And I don't know about you, but I want to have God's favor and blessing upon my life. And with that thought being in mind, I want to share with you three thoughts from the text this morning that share with us how God can get us there. What I mean is how we can get to the end of this year, if Jesus tears his coming and we don't die, how we can get to the end of this year making good choices and right decisions and having God's favor and blessing. And I'd like to be able to stand up at the end of 2007 and say, by the grace of God, I want to glorify God that I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I want to be able to say that. So let me give you three thoughts along that way. How can we have God's guidance and direction in 2007? Number one, to have God's guidance and direction in 2007, you and I, we must be in the way. We must be in the way. Now let me give you a definition of that term, the way. Because it's a term that is used often in the Bible. And the phrase the way can refer to a road, where it does in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 18. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed them in the way. Oftentimes, a way was like a road, like we would call a highway or a roadway. And understand that every town had streets and lanes, but between the towns and the villages and the cities were roadways, and certainly not interstate highways. People didn't have cars, but they would walk. They would ride animals, camels, donkeys, whatever the case may be. And so, speaking of Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, he was in the way. People took off their coats. They took off the palm branches. They laid them down in the roadway as Jesus was making his triumphant entry on what we call Palm Sunday. So it can refer to a road, but it also can refer to a course of life. And I believe in Acts chapter 9, verse number 2, that's really what it refers to. It says, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, speaking of the apostle Paul before his salvation, who was a persecutor of Christianity. Listen, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So we can certainly, when we talk about the way, it can refer to a course of action, a belief system, a faith, as it were, or it can, I think, refer to a mode of action, which I believe it refers to in our text. Now, this servant was on a mission. Understand that he was on a mission and he was on his way. He had a course of action. He was on a mission. He was fulfilling Abraham's desire. And thus, because he was fulfilling Abraham's desire, he's also fulfilling what God wanted. But when we speak of the way, when I say to you, if we want God's guidance in 2007, I say to you that we must be in the way. I'm speaking to you of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what I'm referring to. The Bible is clear that God wants all people to come to that personal relationship with Him. You understand that when you pay a price for something, you want what you desire. In other words, you want what you purchased. God the Father was willing to send His Son to pay a great price for redemption. God didn't have to do that. In other words, because God is God, because He has a heart for humanity, God was willing to do that. I'm a father. God's blessed our home with three children. I'm very thankful for the children God has given to me, and I love them dearly. And if someone would say to me, I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to give your son to die a very heinous death for some person that perhaps at that point in time really didn't care much about my son or care about me, I'd be very, very perplexed about that. But because God is God, and because God knows that there are those who would respond to Him in a positive way, and because He knows through the death of His Son, many would come to faith, and many would be the expansion of the household and the family of God, God was willing to pay that price. And I'm saying to you that if you're sitting here this morning, the first Sunday of 2007, and in your heart, you don't know that for sure that if you die today, you go to be with God in heaven. I want to tell you something. God died for you. He paid the price for your salvation. He invites you this first Sunday of 2007 to come and put your faith and trust. He paid the blood of His Son. His blood was shed so that you and I could have eternal life. You need to trust Him today. To trust God means you become a child of God. He cares for you. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct your life. I mentioned a few moments ago that our home has been blessed. We have three sons, and each one of our children are very special to us. They're special to our heart. They're all different. We didn't have, you know, when we had children, they just weren't cookie cutters, you know. They're all different. They have strengths. They have weaknesses. They have different personalities. But we love each and every one of them, and we love them dearly. And because they are our children, because they're my sons,
I have a special relationship with him. I don't have any with anybody else. I'm a pastor. Many of you, you're part of this church family. We have a relationship. But I got to tell you, with my own children, I have a special relationship. There are things that I would do for my children I probably wouldn't do for anybody else in this world unless I absolutely needed to do that. I'm just simply saying the relationship, it's the relationship. Get that this morning. It's the relationship that makes a difference. So if we want God's direction, we want God's blessing, if we want to be guided, we want God's favor upon our life, we must understand that we must be in the way. We must have this personal relationship with Christ. You see, it's God who sees all things. You understand that God sees your past. God sees the present. And certainly God sees the future, and God wants to guide the child of God. He wants to get us through life. Just like a parent wants to help their kids come to a point of understanding, they want to help them grow up to get them to a point of being a mature adult who's responsible. So God wants His children. He wants to guide us all the way through this area called life. So number one, if I want God's guidance and direction and my life, I want God's favor and blessing. Number one, I have to understand that I must, number one, be in the way in order to have God's guidance in 2007. Number two, to have God's guidance and direction in 2007, you must acknowledge Him. You must acknowledge Him. It's honest that this servant realized he had to have some direction. Well, he got some from his master, and he said, well, Abraham gave him some direction. He said, there's a place I want you to go. There's an area I want you to go. But I understand that when he got there in that area, that there were probably, understandably so, probably numbers of women who may have been unmarried. And so I'm sure there were more than a few women that would have been available, but he had to find the right one, and the right one had to be willing to leave father and mother, had to be willing to leave that area and go back with this man and marry a man sight unseen. Now, I got to tell you something. That's quite a stretch. I'm talking to some young adults here today. When mom and dad say to you, hey, did you consider this young lady? You kind of roll your eyes. You don't want anybody helping you to pick out the person that you're going to marry. Here was a young man at 40 years of age. His daddy was going to pick out his bride, but even his daddy wasn't going to do it. He was going to send a servant to a far country to bring back this woman, and she was going to marry a man she had never seen. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. But here was what was happening. We find that this young man, this story, this servant was willing to trust God. He was willing to acknowledge God. He knows that the God of Abraham has to guide him, so he takes time and he prays. You know, God will guide those who acknowledge Him. You know, in our lives there are so many choices, decisions. Beyond those choices and decisions, we understand that there's a wicked enemy who's after us continually. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school, that we're constantly involved in a spiritual battle if we're saved. And that wicked one wants to defeat us, and he wants to destroy our lives, and he wants to take us down roads that lead to ruination and destruction. And yet God has promised that those who acknowledge Him, He will direct us. Let me give you some verses of Scripture. I know some of these are familiar, but as we begin 2007, these are verses that you and I need to be rehearsing in our hearts and our minds as we face choices and decisions. And if you would, wise in the road that can go either direction, we need to understand that there's a right road that God wants us to take. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is very familiar. Many people have committed it to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And the Bible says, and He shall direct your path. I'm saying to some of you sitting here this morning, you're going to need to make some decisions in life this year. You need to make some choices. It may be a career choice. It may be a marriage choice. It may be about college choice. It may have to do with some other decision that affects your life. I'm saying to you, there's a God in heaven that if you'll acknowledge Him, He'll help you make the decisions and choices you need to make. Proverbs chapter 32, verses 8 and 9 says, I will instruct thee, that's God speaking, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as a horse or as a mule which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So God is saying, look, if you'll trust me, if you'll acknowledge me, if you'll look to me, I will direct your path. And here's a favorite verse of mine, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Here's what God said to the nation of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah. As the nation was backslidden, He was kind of comforting Jeremiah with this thought. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and of evil to give you an expected end. You see, God had a plan, and in that plan, the nation of Judah was going to go into captivity for 70 years. And God was saying to this prophet Jeremiah, who was heartbroken over the sin of his people, he said, I will tell you something, Jeremiah. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. And while I'm going to bring some discipline and chastening into the life of this nation, understand, I don't mean it for your destruction, but I've got an expected end. There's a place I want to take you. And if you'll acknowledge me, I'll direct you there. I'll get you there. How does God guide us today? Let's ask that question. How does God want to guide you? How does God lead His people? Let me give you three or four things that God does to help us in making decisions and choices. Number one, sometimes God guides us and leads us through principles and clear teaching from the Word of God. So I go through the Word of God, I find principles, I find clear teaching. And many times as I'm reading the Word of God and read it often through the Word of God, and starting again this year. And by the way, let me encourage you, church, if you're not on the Bible reading schedule, start. We're only 7 days into it. You can catch up in a hurry. You can be right up to speed in the Bible reading schedule. Read your Bible through in 2007. Every child of God needs to be in this book every day. But as I read the Word of God, there are things that jump off the pages to me. And God helps me to see principles. And God helps me to see truth that helps me in decisions and choices I need to make. So many times God guides us through principles and clear teaching from His Word. Number two, from counsel from wise and godly people. Well, one of the things that God does in a church family is that we're not all at the same age or level spiritually. There are folks that have been saved here just a short little while. You're what we call a babe in Christ. And there are others who are maybe toddling in their spiritual walk. And others who are maybe further along where you'd be a spiritual adolescent. And others that have been saved for years and you've walked with Christ and you're strong. And I would say to the young people, to the younger folks in this church, when you're looking to make a decision and a choice and you don't know what to do, and you pray first to God, you acknowledge God first, and you've studied His Word and you don't seem to have yet an answer, you may want to check with a godly person and get some counsel. Now, I'd say this, that I don't want to make decisions or choices for people, but I believe that I can help people in giving some counsel as God has helped me in my life. And that's really what it's about. We're to help each other. There's a third thing. I believe preaching and teaching from the Word of God will help us. Boy, you come to church, you need to be here Sunday morning. You need to be back Sunday night. You need to be back here Wednesday night. The Word of God, the preaching, there's something that God does. You read Ephesians chapter 4 that God gives to the church gifts. And one of the things He does is He gives a pastor and a church family so that we can grow, the Bible says, into the faith. So there are things that God will do through the preaching. Maybe God will answer a question that you have in preaching. And then the inner voice of God's Spirit as we pray. God's Spirit many times speaks to our hearts about a right decision. He gives us comfort. He convicts us or warns us. So those are the ways that God leads His people. So we've seen if we're going to have God's guidance in our life, the first thing that we must do in 2007 is we must be in the way. We must have a relationship with Christ. Number two, we must acknowledge Christ. In other words, we must stop before we make those choices. Say, hey, I'm not going to just plunge on through. I'm just not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to stop and I'm going to ask God what I ought to do about this matter in my life before I make this decision. And thirdly and finally, if you're going to have God's guidance and your direction and blessing on your life and favor in 2007, you must desire to glorify Him. You must desire to glorify Him. I find the servant was trying to fulfill his master's plan. This servant had one responsibility. That responsibility is to fulfill what his master Abraham had asked of him. He was just a servant on a mission. A mission to get a bride for Isaac. It wasn't about him, but it was about doing what he's instructed to do. And I find that God blessed and directed this servant in the way because God was working. I'm not sure this servant understood the significance. I'm not sure he understood all that was involved and what God was going to do, because this had to be the right woman, because Isaac was part of God's plan to bring the nation of Israel to fruition. And through that nation would bring the Messiah. I'm not sure he understood all of that, but he did understand that God and his master had given him a job, and he was going to do that job to the best of his ability. And so we find that picture. Now listen to me, God will guide those who seek to glorify Him with their lives. Do you realize if you're saved today, if you've got breath in your body today, there's just one purpose for which God allows us to live, and it is that we may serve and glorify God? That's really, folks, look, we're starting 2007. If I can get something in your heart this year, it is that your life is to be used to serve God. It's about serving. It's about glorifying God in all aspects of our lives. God will guide you if you want what He wants. Too many people of God's people allow the world and its God to set their agenda. Too many of God's people allow their own glory and what they want drive the decisions and choices. But we as God's people, we cannot allow that to happen. We must understand that every decision, every choice, every opportunity that we have, it should not be about what I want to do, but it is what God wants me to do. And some of those times, listen to me, folks, some of those times it's not easy to make those choices. It's not always easy to do the right thing. Sometimes it means difficulty. But when we do the right thing and glorify God, God brings it the right things to bear. I can't tell you what 2007 holds for you or for me. I can tell you that the God of heaven wants to guide us safely through this maze of this year. He's here to help you. Look, if you're sitting here today and you're not married and you're contemplating marriage, I want to tell you that God wants to help you find the right mate. And if you're sitting here today and you're thinking about a career and you don't know exactly what you ought to do, I believe that God wants to help you. When you're talking about raising your children and choices about raising your children, I believe God wants to help you. God wants to help us in life. But you have to be in the way. You have to acknowledge Him. And we must understand that it's about glorifying Him in every aspect. This servant said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I want to be in the way, and I want the Lord to lead me. I pray, and I believe that many of you want that as well. But some of you, it begins with a decision to put your faith and trust in Christ. Some of you, it's about not just making these decisions, you know, at random, but it's about taking the time to seek the face of God. Seeking the Lord, and it's about glorifying God in and through our lives and in and through our church this year in 2007. Hey, God will get us there. If we allow Him to, I, being in the way, the Lord led me.